kill the lights.
Oh.
You're up, Bing. You know what, Bing? Into a wonderful place. I've been to the mountaintop, people! I've been to the mountaintop! Sir, I hope so. Because you're going to learn. You all got to learn. Because we got to screw with you peoples. How we do it. How we do it in the Texas tent with our cows. And it gets lonely out there in the dark nights with the Texas tents. And we hear them cows mooing. And these mooing so good. Oh. But that's something personal. We won't get into that. But I've been to the mountaintop. I spoke to a pound from us. A pound from us came down from above. Yeah, hallelujah. Show me that walk back and down.
Amen.
Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Speak. Oh, this pound from us came and said, it's your grandmaster bat. I know y'all invented electronic publishing. I know y'all started the first e-zine in 1984. It's a beautiful, wonderful thing. Talk to my people and your people, because your people are my people, and my people are y'all. Ain't that right?
Can I get a hallelujah?
When that voice talks to me, that voice talks to y'all. Hell yeah! Hell yeah! And that voice is a lovely voice. That voice that came by me in Texas. That voice said, Grandmaster Rat, I know you're going to speak to all them beautiful people, them wonderful people out there in Las Vegas, the city, but that's okay. When you're outlets, it's okay. I ain't going to push them to the butt. I'm going to make them people happy. I'm going to make them so happy. I'm going to make them love each other 12 times a day. Because you feel the spirit, don't you? Because the city's in crowd. It's a crowd that likes to get rowdy. To make love 12 times a day.
It is a rat.
Testify.
That voice came down to me. Well, that voice said, he gave to me a wonderful object. Created by Texas Instruments. That voice said, Grandmaster Rat, I want you to go down there with people, those beautiful thousands of people in Israel here today. I want you to tell them something. Now turn that out. Beautiful. Box. You want to say cow to me?
Oh. You want to say cow to him?
Let's hear a cow. Cow.
Oh, such a beautiful sound in my tight ears. Oh. Okay. But that voice said to me, I want you to tell them people something. Something that's three little black men. People living in one big black man. That makes me so happy to... When they please me and they speak the words of that great CDC upon this beautiful sky and this world and this internet that I've created and these BBSs from which you were sprung. And that word he said, this amazing device called a speaking spell, can translate those great spirits that have been put into my head to you. To words that we can understand in English or Espanol. That's okay. This is what he said. He said,
B. Oh, amen. Amen.
What's that? Oh, my God. Will you smin? Can
He's
you
been
feel it?
By the power of speaking spell.
Can you feel it?
Oh. Heal.
Smitten. Oh, yeah. This is personal. Who else wants to get smitten? With the word of the Lord. I don't know if you're ready, but we'll see what tests you are. Because the life is full of tests. Like this one. Like this test right here. This is a little test we do. It's something we like to do to see just how fervent you are and how hard you believe. Do you believe? You think you believe?
We believe.
Oh, beautiful. Okay. So beautiful, makes me feel really good. It's really good to see you cry like you touch yourself. Because it knows how good that feels, ain't that right? Ain't gentlemen.
Yeah.
You touch yourself.
Hallelujah.
When I think about you, I touch myself, yes. And it makes me want to shout. And it makes me want to holler. And raise a great cry to that great force we all have inside of us. We must release it. And you know how we do that? We like to yell. You know what we like to yell? It's a little chant. Some call it cheerleading, some call it proselytizing, but it's a lot of fun.
Testify.
We like to do it.
You tell us.
Let me tell y'all. Do y'all know? Do y'all know? Do you have an inkling? But you know what? Can I tell you? We're going to just forget this together, right? Right?
Yeah.
We're going to grab hold of our crotches. One hand. The other hand, we're going to raise up high. I can't do that now because our microphone is really hard to talk about. That's good. You're not holding the microphone most likely, so you just take that other hand and raise it up high. Raise it up high. Raise that. Put those hands up. Just one, because the other one's busy. Wednesday night. We don't need to talk about that all the time, but sometimes. I like that. I like them horny cow horns. Don't I tell you that's a sign of Satan? That's a sign of CDC. This makes me so happy. Yeah. Let's throw up a deal first. Some call it a demo sign. Some call it a deal sign. They're wrong. It's a CDC sign. That's okay. Oh, I like that. See a sea of them. A sea of these things. Okay, we feel ourselves with one hand. Got our hand up. No, we do. Do you know what we do? What do? We hop around and we do a little chat like this.
Do
a little something like this. When I say dead, you say cow. Dead.
Cow.
Dead.
Cow.
When I say kicks, you say ass. Kicks.
Ass.
Kicks.
Ass.
When I say dead, you say cow. Dead.
Cow.
Dead.
Cow.
When I say kicks, you say ass. Kicks.
Ass.
Kicks.
Ass.
Oh, thank you. Here's another big round of applause. Thank you very much. I'm so proud of you people. My people, my soldiers, where my soldiers at? Let's holler. Wow. Can you holler for me? Can you holler? Wow. God, it feels good to holler. I like to introduce some of y'all.
That was a lousy holler. Try again. Okay.
CDC, Sunspot, Lawyer, Brave Man, a brave man. Oh man, that's sad. That's so beautiful. Look at that pocket sphincter. Ready for action. In or out, it's cool.
You want me to introduce people?
I think that'd be good.
All right.
I had to sit and stuff for a while, but...
Yeah, you get...
Tweety Fish, I want you
to... You got something to get out.
Introduce the people.
All right.
Starting with this guy here. The new CC members. Miles Long. After years in the porn industry, he has joined us. Miles Long, thank you. Oh, okay. Want to continue? Tweety Fish?
Sure. I don't know these people.
All right. We got 19 CDC people here. You understand this is... The most ever in one place, the highest concentration of CDC love energy ever. We got Death Veggie. Y'all know him. We got the future of programming, Mr. Dildog. We got official ass kicker, Wade Knight. Official international ass kicker,
Edith
Ruffin.
Foreign Minister of the CDC.
The Surgeon General, Mr. Count Zero. The official pimp, Mr. Tarkin Darklighter. The official cyberpunk, Mr. Freakout. The official Mudge, Dr. Mudge. Behind Dr. Mudge, we have the next president of the United States of America, Tequila Willie! We got the hardest working man in show business, Mr. Reed Fleming.
Also the world's toughest milkman.
Also the world's toughest milkman.
Next, we got Night Stalker, the official crazy old guy of CDC. Also known to ride shotgun in Demon Seed Elite.
Omega, model for the movie Pi. Woo!
Hiding in the back, we got the High Priestess of CDC, Lady Carolyn. Behind her, we've got brand new CDC member, The Exclusive, who is also our monster truck mechanic.
We got the bad boy, Mr. Sadistic.
Sir, to you. Over here, we got Sunspot, the official official counsel for the offense of CDC. And here we have the ever elusive Franken God, co-founder of Cult of the Dead Cow in 1984, official.
The true old school, ladies and gentlemen.
The true old school.
Right there.
The high priest. The high priest and scribe of CDC. And let's not forget the man, Grandmaster Rat, the official dictator for life. And last but most certainly not least, Obscure Images.
Yeah, you, creator of that animation you just saw.
Speaks for himself, at least in 48 states.
Is that everybody?
Okay. Yeah, they...
The codes? What? You want codes? You want codes?
In my pants.
Codes? Where? Wallace?
You have to sign them. See you after the show. Oh. Oh. But you know, it's a beautiful thing when I get together like this. It makes me so happy. So happy when there's 20 here. I think I'm gonna cry.
I think you should.
I'll do that later. Okay. But first, I'm so moved. I can go on, man.
You're right. Keep it going. Keep it going. It's a powerful scene, I know.
Okay, okay. Wait.
Testify.
Help me up. Look up inside your mama. And she looks up at me and she says, "Oh my God, Grandmaster Rat, how can you be so large?" I say, "Baby, it's not just me, it's the CDC! Whoa! Thank you, Queen Fit, take it on out."
All right, I know y'all want your wares, but you gotta wait a little bit more. You understand we have other things to say to you. I talked to y'all last year about hacktivism.
Yes.
And you know, I came out here and I said that basically we were given every 8-year-old in the world the power to go out there and hack shit and make a difference. And that's still true, but I got a couple of new points to make. One, don't get fucking arrested. Excuse my language, but I think a lot of you kids out there, you go out there and you're like, "Yeah, man, I'm going to hack the website for some bumfuck ISP and save Tibet." And you don't understand. You don't have the paranoia that us old school kids have. But, you know, people are getting raided, people are going down, and that's just stupid. Like, that just makes you look dumb. Don't do that.
Read them out.
Yeah, so the second point, two more points. One, I'm not going to tell you the webpage hacks for a political point are wrong, but pick the cause before you pick the site you're going to hack.
Testify.
Like, make it a little bit relevant.
You know,
if you can think of a way to use your hacking skills to make a difference, that's the fucking future. That is going to change the world.
Woo!
But if you use your hacking skills to say, to fucking diss your internet friends on some site, it's not going to change a damn thing. So think about it. You guys have skills. Figure out how you can use those skills and make shit happen. Because it can make shit happen. You can do it.
And use a spell checker.
And use a fucking spell checker.
Have a little bit of style.
Can I get an amen to the spell checker?
Find a photo.
Amen.
Come on. Hey, get to someone from the old, some bad ASCII art or something. You have some style about it.
ASCII art, yes.
That's
that's also the future.
He's holding a glowy in his hand.
Mr. Jeff Vegetable, you got anything to add?
Not at this time. Carry on.
So, remember, we're going to give you the wares. It's going to blow your mind. It's gonna blow shit away. Then fucking rake your own. What are we giving you? What are we giving you? Are we giving you the source to the baddest remote control software? And you're on great... Huh? All right, without further ado...
I would just like to say that, you know, those of you that are worried about the future of your Windows network security, don't worry. Don't worry.
Oh, we got it covered.
Because... No. People, don't worry, because everything's going to be O2K.
All right. Without further ado, the man with the plan, the skills, the energy, the badass, Mr. Dildog, and Back Orifice 2000.
Down in front.
Okay, all set? All right, boys and girls, we got a treat for you. Last time around, last year at this time exactly, or so, give or take a week or two, we released a relatively powerful remote administration utility for Windows 95 machines. I'd be sorry that we left a whole other side of the world out. You know, there's the whole Windows NT people that need stuff too. And I'm not even talking about breaking into stuff and messing stuff up. It turned out that, you know, all your home users use Windows 95. And because of that, BackOffice became a very popular platform for remote administration at home. This is, however, not necessarily where the tool is the most useful. In corporate America, tools such as PC Anywhere, Carbon Copy 32, lots of other remote administration tools, SMS, lots of other tools are being used out there, and they all cost a lot of money. This is true, and they all run on Windows NT. You know, that's what your corporate networks are being run on nowadays, I guess. So, you know, we decided to put together a system that you can trust, a little something... Something that keeps your data secure in transit.
Amen, Brother Dog!
And, you know, we're trying to make it as flexible and extensible as possible. We want to see this software that we've developed, you know, running on not just Windows. We want to see it running on Macintoshes. We want to see it running on Linux. We want to see Linux controlling Windows. We want to see Windows controlling Mac. And I don't even care if Mac controls Linux, but in the end, we'd like to see this develop into the world's most cohesive, extensible, and powerful remote administration system on the planet. Which leads us to the following. What exactly is BO2K? BO2K, as I have put up on these pretty little slides, is a secure remote administration system for Windows 95, 98, and NT.
And 2000.
We've tested it. Looks like it's going to be just working fine. there's native support for control of system stuff, files, registries, passwords, networks, and processes. We have a new and improved plugin interface with a self contained plugin API, which should make plugin development a rapid...
Plugins, a.k.a. butt plugs.
Butt plugs, technically, were the name of the older plugins. These are just called plugins. But we still support your butt plugs. Now referred to as legacy butt plugs. I think we're going to coin that term for you guys. With the legacy butt plug support.
Sounds great. I'll take that.
It's kind of unhygienic, but... So we've tried to make it ultra extensible, and we've decided to go with an open source architecture. So,
oh yeah! Can I get a hallelujah? Hallelujah!
All right. How you can trust BO2K? We've done a lot of work. Currently, BO2K uses XOR encryption. But it also supports TripleDES. Now, TripleDES is restricted by the United States export rules. So, guys out there, I'm very sorry that Bulgarians will not be able to use the software. They're just going to have to settle for something else. We have an authentication system, which is extensible through a plugin interface, and as well as the encryption. So you can go ahead and write new encryption, plug it in anywhere you want. You can also write new authentication, plug it in wherever you want. You can have multi-user logins. You can have privileged logins. You can have all root logins. You can have whatever you want. You can have anti-authenticated logins. It would takes about 45 minutes and a few cups of coffee to put out a plugin that does all these things. Currently, we only support all root logins. But that's because generally there's, for a series of networks, you have a hub of people who are the root people that control all the machines. So they're generally the ones with all the passwords. All connections to the BO2K server can be encrypted. Everything. File transfers that you do, conversations you might have through a chat interface, anything. All the command requests, it's all passed through the authentication system. So you can go ahead and install this on your corporate networks. You can use it in replacement for a lot of other software, and you can feel relatively secure, you know, as much as you can in today's world. By using this to move your data around. All right, let's see. What else do we have here? It comes with a large set of native commands based on the functionality of the original back orifice. Though BO2K is almost a complete rewrite from the ground up in order to make it smaller, faster, etc. A lot of your favorite functionality has been included, including all the things you may see here on the list, from keystroke logging for various things. all the plugin stuff. It's all the new stuff that's been added. We'll get to the exact details, and I'll show you a few demos of what you can do with some of the new stuff. Let's see. Now, let's go a little bit about plugins. The plugin SDK is just a small subset of the BO2K source code that we've developed. You don't actually have to download all the source or understand how it works. The plugin SDK is completely, in and of itself, enough all you'll need to write all the plugins to extend any part of the system, add commands to the server, add windows to the client, add authentication systems, network communications protocols, authentication, whatever. You know, every single piece of the system is extensible. You can have plugins that take things up, put things in, whatever. So, we have a complete hypertext documentation on the website detailing every single command with examples of how to use the plugin SDK. Just click yourself around. You should be able to learn it in under a day. Just sit down with some of the samples we provided and start churning them out. I'd like to see a lot of bright developers out there making stuff happen. You know, this is something that should really empower people to be doing practical network application programming over in a Windows environment without a lot of bloated overhead. So, and last but not least for the general features of BO2K, BO2K is GPL. It's actually real GPL. CDC will be distributing the primary, call it the dead cow distribution of the software. We expect to see others crop up with different focuses. Ours is focused on primarily the legitimate aspects of network remote administration, and being a generally useful system. You know, people are going to take the source code, strip everything out, and put in their own commands that do what they want it to do, but, such is the nature of the beast. This way we can be sure that the O2K will always exist. It's always going to be around. The source code's going to be floating around out there, and you're going to be able to do whatever you want with it. The other thing that we've done is made sure that you know, we have a fast turnaround time for bug fixes. Now that, you know, we're not just producing exploits and you know, we're actually putting our balls on the line, you know, we're actually releasing a product with open source, we promise, you know, if you come up with a security vulnerability in the software in and of itself, that we won't have a week turnaround time to fix the bug. From mail to release, it'll be under 30 minutes. And you'll never have to pay a cent for support, because we don't have any.
Amen.
All right, so the desperate question here is, what's really new in BO2K? All kinds of funky shit.
All kinds of funky shit.
BO2K has added... Yes, sir? Who's Dave?
Dave McAtee.
Okay. Here, do that.
Thank you.
All right.
In the meantime, carry on.
And, okay. So, yeah, there's all kinds of new stuff. I'm going to go ahead and flip through these slides rather quickly and then just give you guys a demonstration so you can see what it looks like. What's new? What's new? You've all, many of you have used BO2K. BO. And you are interested in seeing what's new. We have new Windows NT support. We have HDD file server support that supports the network neighborhood of the target network. We have PW dump style NT password dumping suitable for importing to Loftcrack. We have extended direct registry manipulation. The last time you couldn't do things like rename registry keys because somebody left that out of the Win32 API. They just left them out. There's a whole ton of stuff that's not in there that should be, that's kind of emulated by the regedit program that you use. It's point and click. You kind of forget that, you know, there's really only like create key, delete key, and that kind of thing. So it actually does that for you now. So we're kind of patching up what some people missed. It runs a little more hidden than last time. You know, it's a little bit more unobtrusive. It's a shy program. The thing about it is the footprint's gotten smaller. It's approximately 113K now instead of 160. It uses under 2 megabytes of RAM for everything. And unlike a lot of other remote control software that you see out there, including all the big name ones that come from the same people that make the antivirus software that are going to call us a virus, a lot of them, they also, you know, they take up 32 megs of disk space and 20 megs of RAM, and you know, so.
And they don't do anything more.
Yeah, well, actually, they do a lot of stuff. A lot of those other tools out there, SMS, you know, a few others, they have modes that they can be installed surreptitiously and run without the user noticing. It sounds kind of fishy, doesn't it?
Who's legit?
Who's legit? Yeah, I mean, I was looking on a web page earlier. On Microsoft's site detailing an SMS. I was just trying to get some ideas, and they've got a thing on there that says, you know, due to a wide range of customer demand, we have, you know, put in a functionality to have the software install without any user prompting over a network, and it looks invisible to the naked eye. And that's not their exact words, but I think you're going to be seeing that URL floating around a little while. You should check it up and re-up on it. You know, we're not the only people doing this. Don't think we're special.
But we are special.
We are special, but
we run a small bus to school.
Small bus, short bus. So this time around, we also have built-in TCP communication as well as UDP. The plugin interface, however, can add all kinds of different things. You can talk over all kinds of different mediums. You know, you're going to be seeing things like dial-up support. Dial-out support. ICMP tunneling support. All this crazy stuff. And we have a session-based architecture this time. Last time, it was sort of everybody just spits packets into the server. If you got the right password, it takes them. This time around, it's actually session-based, enforcing session sequencing on top of possibly unreliable protocols. So you actually have like connections over whatever protocol you pick. You know, multiple individual sessions that you can. the question was if all the
actually can we hold all the questions?
Yeah,
for the
end? We'll answer questions at the end. The short answer is maybe, and I'll tell you why. All right, let's move on here. So the real winner here has really been the plugin interface. You know, this is been worked from the ground up with a new model in mind for writing this kind of software. To write a plugin, you write a DLL, and it exports one function. It takes in everything, you know, and it just, you know, it allows you to do all kinds of crazy stuff. To demonstrate the plugin interface, I've written a few myself so that people can have some fun stuff to fool with. I wrote one tool. It's called BoPeep. It's a remote desktop access plugin. What it does is you start up the console hijack client, you click on the mouse button and the keyboard button, and they stop working on the other side. And then you have a hotkey sequence. You just click on it, and you control the mouse and keyboard remotely of the other side. I mean, this is a functionality that's in a lot of other tools, and it would be a shame for it to be left out of this one. Also, you have the VidStream client, which actually lets you see the remote desktop as a compressed video stream coming over the network. Unlike a lot of other tools, this one does it completely encrypted because it was built with encryption in mind from the ground up. So you don't have to worry about your data when you're doing this, boys. All right. We also have some stuff being developed by Loft Heavy Industries, including in the package which we're calling the BO2K Professional Plugin Pack, which is aimed toward productivity and keeping making Windows networks a little bit more useful. We have something called BoTool. This is just the first item here. It actually provides a remote file browser that looks just like Microsoft Explorer and lets you see and manipulate files on the other side, download them, upload them all through encrypted channels. It's like having FTP but more secure and SCP but no ugly command line. It's really, really relatively easy. You just kind of drag, drop files, rename them, make directories, complete remote network administration over any medium without setting up any bulky VPNs. You know, I do this all the time to push new web pages, to move files around on my systems at work, you know, from home. And it works great. You know, it's actually been probably one of the more useful things I think I've ever written. Also a remote registry editor. It uses BO's native registry functions, which can be kind of bulky if you're using the regular client interface. A lot of the bulkier operations can be simplified by using plugins. It allows you to just surf the remote machine that you're connecting to's registry, edit, modify keys, rename keys, create subkeys, values, whatnot. So, that'll definitely, you know, help people out in their administration duties. So, other things that are going to be in the plugin pack that I don't have slides for yet, some of which are in various states of being done. We have BoTool. We have BOSOC 32, which is a reliably sequenced UDP. In other words, it's basically just like TCP, except it's UDP. It does retransmission. It does packet reordering. It fixes what TCP broke, UDP broke, and lets you communicate using the UDP protocol if that's how your network is letting things travel. We also have ICMP IO, so if you want to talk through ping requests, you could do that too. Another thing is the BO script system. It allows for automation of common redundant BO tasks on the client and on the server side. You can script the client, have little tabs inside. You just kind of click on them to do common actions sequenced together. You can also run things on the server side. And let's say you wanted something to happen at 4 o'clock in the morning when you weren't connected, like dial out to your house or something, then it could do it. You know, you can script any of the actions through the BO script plugin. Also, BO chat would provide a small text-based interface, which would allow multiple people to log into the same BO2K server and communicate with each other over a secure medium. This has various uses, especially combined with the file transfer plugin. But you'll notice that all the other tools out there that provide remote control functionality have all of this stuff, including crazy stuff like voice chat. We don't have voice chat, you know. But who needs voice chat? You know, it's like for executives and stuff. No, actually, everyone's going to be able to find this tool very very interesting to use. The actual website that the software is going to be distributed from, we may activate that website within the next couple of days. It's already done, but I haven't linked everything up yet. is bo2k.com. Currently, there's a little splash screen thing in there, a shockwave splash. But, you know, keep checking it, and something else will magically appear. In the meantime, check out the cultdeadcow.com website, read our text files. And I hope you have a lot of fun with the program. I'm going to give a little demonstration of it if people want to see it. You want to see what it looks like? All right, let's see if we can fire up the big screen here. Yeah. We have a little screen for what the server is going to be doing, and we have a big screen for the client so you can see what I'm doing. All right, let's put this microphone down for a second so I can... Yeah, it's in focus. All right. Just a second. All right.
Is that the sort of... You tell me. Quick question. Is it
Windows and
I can tell. Yeah, okay. This is the end of
the server.
That's
the
one. Okay, so... All right. Something need to happen over there to make this come up. This is the. All right, we got something up there. What is that? Stack it up. That's really small. You guys can't see that, can you? I don't know what that is. I didn't make it. All right. Can you guys see that? Is that like enough? No. All right, hold on. We're going to move it around and we're going to use the big one. Hold on.
I knew you brought those things for a reason. That's the stuff.
Hold on.
That's big. All right, let's make sure we got them in the right order here. Get this stuff out of the way. All right. Oh, boy. All right, is this going the big guy moving over here?
Forget and you'll like it.
No. Okay. Do-do-do-do. All right. I'm going to spare you the gory details of... lights, yeah. Let's get some lights here.
Dim the lights.
Can we dim them? We don't have to kill them all the way. Just enough so they're up here.
Could we dim the lights, please?
There we go. It's getting there.
Thank you.
Yeah, I see it. Is that better? More blue. All right. Duh. I'm going to move this back. So we got two screens projected on top of each other here, and we're just gonna have to deal with that because we only have one screen to work with. The little screen that you see there. I'm gonna wait for this thing to get off the stage so I can speak. All right. You think it's hot out there? It's pretty friggin' hot up here too. Okay. All right. Now we can do this thing. All right. Over here, little blue guy, we have the server machine that's currently running the BO2K server. I'm going to spare you all the details of how you want to put it on there. Most people are just going to run the install shield wizard that we've provided that feeds directly into the configuration manager, which lets you install the program any way you want. You can put it in as a low-level user with no permissions. You can put it in as an administrator, and it'll run as a service. So, you know, you configure it how you want it to be. You can make it run stealthy, you can make it run not stealthy. You just flip the switches in the config program. I'll show you the config program real quick here on the big screen so you can just see what it looks like. I've already installed this stuff. Look at my mouse isn't working, fucking thing. All right. La 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 la. All right. Fucking Windows. Okay, the mouse button is not working. Guess what, buddy? It doesn't work. I tried it already. The Windows key. How about that? How about that doesn't work either? How about it kind of clicks, but it doesn't want to...
Well, you said it was a shy program.
For Christ's sake. All right. Does this one work? Yeah, that one works. All right, we're going to reboot it. That's right. We don't know the solution either.
Thank you, Microsoft.
Reboot, 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 reboot.
Okay, well, who wants to count? Okay, the machine is a P2, what, 266? So it shouldn't take too long, right? All right, it looks like it doesn't want to reboot. I'm going to have to actually power cycle it, too. Wow, dear frigging God. Okay, here we go. Are we going to push the button? It doesn't reset either. All right, here we go. All right, here we go. La, la, la. I'm just going to sing you a song now.
Yes.
Ooh.
I'm kidding. No, it's all right. All right, got, like, people pointing cameras at me that speak languages I don't even know. So that's, I'm not going to do that at this juncture. The server machine is currently on. I'll show you that. Server machine is currently running NT something. Let's see. NT4. I know it's NT4. I'm just running a server workstation or whatnot. Let's pop up some system information here. System. Da-da-da. Yeah, it's Windows NT4 for IE4. Registered to... sorry. It is registered. Anyway. So, yeah, you saw that. It's got a bunch of stuff in it. It's got a 3COM Ethernet card in it. It's connected to this guy over here. Yes, you can see the process list. It's currently not running hidden. But I'll tell you how it does that in just a second if you want to see. Run the task manager here. You'll see that it's running right there as bo2k.exe. It's not even hiding itself right now. But, I'll let you in a little secret. You don't have to read the source guide, I'll tell you. Let's say you run BO2K as a low privilege user, and you want it to hide itself. One thing it'll do is it will open process and open up the process of choice, proceed to virtual alloc memory through virtual malloc EX, and to the other process space. It copies itself in, adjusts the import table by remapping the EP executable manually, and does a create remote thread, runs its thread to the other process, killing the first one. So it just kind of looks like it's a thread of other executables that are running. And the fun part is it actually can, like, you can point at a program and say, I want to hop into this process space or this one or this one or this one. Yes, it just, like, you can play Ghost in the Machine. You know, it doesn't show up in the process table, and it's not necessarily an inherent flaw, but I'm not sure why they created a create remote thread function. I mean, that's pretty cool and all, and it has uses for debugging, but it's got many more uses for just, like, making stuff go away, you know? Under Windows 95/98, we also do a... We also have a process hiding feature that uses an undocumented feature of the kernel 32.dll. It's called vxdcall0. It opens up vwin32.vxd calling the page modify permissions call in ring 0 from ring 3 directly without using vxd. Unprotects the kernel memory. Patches the entry points for process 32 first, process for 32 next, so they do not return the BO2K process ID since it doesn't show up in WinTop or any of those other process viewers. Alright then. So let's show you the meat here. We've got a configuration tool which actually has a wizard built in for those who can't figure out how to use it. It steps you through it, lets you pick an executable, walks you through it, says, hey, I want to use TCPIO, port 12321, whatever you want to use. There's no default port this time.
Yeah!
Yeah. No default password either. In fact, you can't even run it without setting your own port number and password, so you're going to be not seeing those little 31337 detector programs out there. It's pretty... It's such a waste. Scooping people for $40 for a program that just looked on port 31337 for something that may have not even been BO, but like a backcoming in non-passive FTP connection or something. Yeah, so let's say triple des here. Let's pick a password that, trying to remember which one I put on the server now. I think it was, no. Not the 1234, that was a suggestion. Go fly a kite. Next. Finish. Okay, great. Now, it popped the actual config tool after the wizard's done, so you can actually open up the server, see how it works. Let's open it up here. Okay. There's a triple A's module. You can extract it to a file. You can insert other modules. You can put in the Bo Peep module right there. And it lets you configure each of the individual things. All the passwords are stored in plain text because there's no host-side security anyway, and I don't trust the Microsoft Protected Store. But everything's secure over the network, actually, itself. So you're not going to be seeing any key exchanges because you set up this client, you set up the server. It doesn't exchange keys over the network. You just distribute it to the appropriate locations, and then from that point on, it should be secure. You can choose processes to hide in. Currently, Explorer is a good choice. It names itself a particular file. You pick a path where you want to put it. You can choose whether you want it to run on startup or not. You know, all these little things. So I've already configured the server and put it on the Windows NT box over here. So I'm just going to run the client, which... it's right here. All right. Actually, let's change the background here. I'd like to see something more appropriate. There we go. All right. So let's work on connecting to the server here. Let's see. I don't care what the machine. You have like a little BO2K neighborhood down at the bottom here. It lets you... Keep track of the machines that you're controlling.
These are the people.
And it lets you save that neighborhood to a save file, which I actually have a demo save file here. Yeah, there it is, server. And it's you got the address in there and the port number that's hooked up to. You can modify that. You can see the settings there. It's triple des, TCP, IO, and it's using null single user authentication. So we connect, and it retrieves the server capabilities, mapping what capabilities the server has to the menu items on the client, so you can actually connect to a server that somebody else has configured and be able to use their functionality without having to plug anything into the client. You've got all the classic functionality over here. You've got, you can just ping it, make sure it responds. You pop up your little happy message boxes. Hi. There. Boop. Okay, so we know we're in, which is good. We have all kinds of fun with TCP here. We have a new and improved HTTP file server, which I'll demonstrate. Pop that up over a port, let's say port 8000. I don't even know what kind of programs I've got on this thing. IE is in here, alright, we'll use that. IE Explorer. Duh. Where? Okay. Stop. Come back to me. Windows, come back. All right. Let's see if I remember the IP address of the machine. That's what, 10.15.248.18:8000. Cannot open. Yeah. Gotta do. Did I not turn it on and it didn't hit enter, did I? Well, I'm just not with it today. All right. Port service starts successful. It started up. I just haven't connected. There we go. Website found. There we go. So, yeah. We'll click on... it's all there. Joke around. So, no problem. Network neighborhood. I don't really have a network neighborhood hooked up, but, if you wanted to see that. Oh, good God, no. List map ports, you can see, what you started. You can do that console app thing, starting a command, something over a port. That kind of works. There's still a lot of problems with it. It's one of those great unsolved mysteries. You've got to get that extra to work over Windows Network. I'll move the map port. I can kill that. All right. So, yeah, you've seen a lot of the commands before. I'm not going to go through and show you all of them right now. I'm going to show you some of the new stuff. Support for the old legacy butt plugs. We have server control support to actually shut down the server remotely and uninstall it. You can make it go away. Just type delete, hit send command, and it's gone. You can restart the server. You can restart it up in a different process than it started in, if it's running under NT. Load plugins, debug plugins, list plugins, remove plugins. We can start multiple command sockets over different network protocols, so you can come in over UDP and over ICMP and over TCP all at the same time if you want to. So there's a lot of that. Keylogging stuff still there. Anyway, let's check out some of the new stuff. We've got Bo Peep, which is the remote control desktop kind of plug-in thing. So I'm just going to start it up with the defaults. Grid stream socket are created. Oh, great. Well, I was testing this earlier, so it's already started. I can just start up the... this is a plug-in that you're seeing acting on the client side, which adds these windows to the client. So I connect, and let's see. 10.15.248. It's hard to type when you have a microphone in your hand. But 28, was it 28? 18, that's what it was. Duh. And, yeah, here we go. Yeah, okay, so now what you're seeing there is the other screen. That's where the mouse is located. So I move this mouse around a little bit, right? All right, so let's say, you know, this also lets you do some network connection monitoring here. It keeps time of day, what place you're connected to, and the network load, so you can monitor exactly how much network utilization you're using by using the tool. Good feedback stuff. Lets you copy and cut and paste to the clipboard so you can keep little security snapshots of what's going on. Anyway, what else do we have here? Let's see, console hijack client. Right now, let's connect to... was it 10.15? I keep forgetting this. 248. I could cut and paste it, but I'm going to type it anyway. Boop. Okay. So now, what this does here is we have a little mouse and a little keyboard. Click on the mouse, and the mouse kind of doesn't go anywhere anymore on the other side. Click on the keyboard, and the keyboard doesn't work. But if I hit my magic cut key, I'm now over here controlling it. You can see a little red dot there. I'm on the client side, moving the mouse on the server side. I can see it. I can actually work remotely. I fixed a number of bugs using BOGK by using the TCP IO, tunneling through an SSH session into work, running VidStream, popping up Visual Studio, fixing the bugs, compiling it, re-downloading it, and then running it locally. Now try doing that without BOGK, huh? All right, so actually, you know, here's a good legit use for Bo Peep that you might want to try at home. You've got two machines right next to each other. And you have one keyboard, one mouse, and you can use BO2Ks and Bo Peep as a virtual switch box to move the keyboard and mouse to the other machine. Yeah, that's pretty cool. And it does it all using the secure socket stuff that we've done. What else do we have here? Let's close these up. We have the a demonstration of the Bo tool stuff that's coming from Loft. This is not available for download yet, because we're going to be packaging with a bunch of other stuff. These actually run as desktop windows, so you can go ahead and pull the client away. And you have a remote registry and a remote file browser. Connect. And I'm going to just put the microphone down so I can type this faster. There we go. And I'll put the mic stand here. Alrighty then. Yeah, take a sip of water. Okay. Alright, so now that we've connected, you know, I just type /\, and there it is. Doop. And there's remote files, and we can do all kinds of stuff. You just click on one of these bitmap files here. Boop. And you can see the properties, you can change all those little settings there. You can download and upload files. So I'm connecting to the server, downloading from the server to the client. I'm going to go ahead and put this on the desktop over here. That's upload files. Download selected. Browser folder, yeah. I'll put this on the desktop. Doo-doo-doo. And it just kind of went through, did that real quick. The network speed, we've done a lot of benchmarks. Out of all the other network remote administration tools out there, you know, the fastest that we benchmarked, we actually did tests on about 4 or 5 different commercial network admin programs. The fastest they could transfer a file over 10 megabit network from, you know, using the same setup of one machine connected to another was 2.4 megabytes in 9 seconds, which isn't too shabby. But BO2K does 3.5 in 9 seconds. So you get an extra meg for your money. So you can upload, download files. That right there makes the whole thing worth it to me. You know, moving files around over like something like an SSH tunnel has been absolutely, you know, one of the worst problems dealing with Windows networking. You know, who wants to set up PPTP, really? So we also have the remote registry editor here. Let's see, 15.249. Shoot. And connect me up. Cannot connect to server. What did I type wrong? 10.15.248.18. Come on. 12321. Maybe one of the first things that some of our happy GNU developers out there could do is put in a little combo box thing there to let you pull down the last thing you typed into the connect box so I don't have to keep typing this frickin' thing. There we go. So there's a registry. Ding. So it's all there. It's all there in black and white. Source code's available. You can go there right now and, well, not right now, as soon as we rename one file once I get back to Boston. Well, probably tomorrow night sometime. You'll be able to start trying on this stuff yourself. You know, it's been a lot of fun to write, and I think you guys should have a lot of fun using it. It's also something that I would honestly like to see being used as legitimately as possible. You know, I know that the last version of BO, was just the most convenient thing for a Trojan horse. It really was. But this time around, you know, we've got something here that you can use at work and feel good about it. You can use it on your network. You know, it's open source. You can trust it. A lot of people said, I'd like to put BO on my network and use it for an administration tool, but how can I trust it? I've heard rumors of backdoors and Trojans inside Trojans. And this time around, we don't want you to be afraid of it. We just want you to use it, you know. So,
come on.
Have a great time, you know. It's all good. It's all good. Well, I guess I'm done here for now. I'm going to usher in Sir Distic, who's going to talk about some other little things that CDC is going to be pushing out the door in the near future that should be of definite interest, very sparking definite interest to anyone who is familiar with the problems associated with the original back orifice. We may have some solutions for you. Ooh. All right, so let's give a warm welcome to Sir Distic on stage here.
Give it up for SP. SP! Give it up. Super Stick! Give it up! Give it up!
There we go.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, y'all. Forgive me if I'm a little slow. I just woke up. What I'm going to talk about is, hostile code. For the large part of the response last year was, you know, all the antivirus people extracted a signature from BO, and actually somebody during my presentation asked me a question about, you know, what's going to prevent them from doing this, and I kind of half-assed the answer. But basically, you know, the main defense you have against BO right now, short of listening on port 31337 for packets with the default password, which is really good protection, other than that, you know, they say, well, you know, run your virus scanner, make sure your, you know, data files are up to date, make sure you got the latest signatures. But what they don't tell you is that gives you no protection at all. It's complete bullshit. Because all it takes to do to create a effective hostile application is, well, first of all, a minimally talented programmer with a couple of hours to do it. Second of all you need to do is mask the signatures in the file, which is incredibly easy. There's commercial programs out there like there's one called Shrinker. Everybody remembers PKLite from the DOS days. All you have to do, go to the Shrinker site and download their demo. Take the original back orifice program, compress it, run it. Your virus scanner won't pick it up. It's really that straightforward. I call it actually the method of signature scanning the Borg defense. We all watch Star Trek, many of us anyway. The Federation beams onto the Borg cubes, and they are fighting them. They take their shots with their phasers, and their first few shots work until the Borg adapt, and then they have to run back to their ship and remodulate their phasers yet again. Well, who wants to be one of those first few Borg who gets wiped out so the West can be okay? You know, it's my data. I don't give a shit about the rest of the collective. You know, it's my data. So essentially, you know, signature scanning is not a defense at all. One of the things I've written this year is essentially an executable compressor. Pretty straightforward. There's like I said, commercial ones out there. Mine will be free. You know, 50% compression. So all of a sudden, your programs are half as big as they were before. But one of the unique things about it is that it uses a variable algorithm so that it never produces the same output executable twice. So there's never a signature you track. Now, I know a lot of people, you know, give me a lot of shit for releasing BO and, you know, well, you're just creating problems and blah, blah, blah. And I am trying to bring attention to problems that are out there just because, you know, before I released BO, it's not like people weren't using Trojan horses to fuck other people over. It happens. You just don't hear about it because they're successful. Good hacks you don't hear about. So basically, you know, people give me a lot of shit. They say, well, you know, you're creating more of a problem. You're not offering any of a solution. Not that it should be my job to come up with the solutions. I mean, that's what the whole industry is for. I'm just trying to raise awareness of the problems. But basically, I mean, there are other options. There's concepts, you know, for protection that were, you know, came up with 15 years ago that people tried to implement 15 years ago and decided basically that it's a good idea, but we can't afford that much CPU time right now in 1985 running XTs. I got Pentium 3 at home. I can afford enough CPU cycles to spin my cursor while I'm waiting for the CPU to do something. I can afford CPU cycles for security. You know, it's not that unreasonable of a concept. So a couple of the other programs that I'm releasing very soon, which will be available on my homepage, cultedcow.com/tildeSD, are another approach to protection from hostile code. Now, I'm not saying this is a replacement for signature scanning. I'm not saying this application I'm writing is the end-all solution. All I'm saying is here's another approach. And the idea is, again, not a new concept, application-level security. Say, I want to run this program, and I want to watch what it's doing and be able to control what it's doing. So essentially, I just hook file access and registry access at ring zero at the operating system level, and any time a program or the program that you're watching tries to read or write to the disk or registry, it says, hey, user, this program is trying to read or write from your Windows password file. Do you want to let it do that? And you can say yes, no, terminate the application, whatever. If the program tries to spawn additional programs, it monitors those programs too. Now, again, you know, there are obviously going to be ways to get around this. But what I'm trying to do is take it to the next level. Right now, all it takes to make a 100% effective Trojan is write a new one that's not being scanned for until it gets completely widely distributed, lots of people get screwed by it, the virus companies get a hold of it, extract a signature, you know, update their virus lists, redistribute it to everybody who actually wants to be protected against this bad program, you have no protection. You know, using a method of application-level security, you have at least the option of trying to protect yourself against something you've never seen before. And, what's that? Well, yeah, I mean, sandbox. I mean, it's a simple concept. And I've actually, you know, after I released BO last year, you know, Microsoft said to the media that, you know, they'd been trying to contact us and we'd never responded, which, you know, isn't true. They tried to contact us afterwards, and I gave them a call, no problem. You know, I'm a friendly guy. You want to call me or talk to me, that's not a problem. And they said, well, what do you expect us to do about it? You know, essentially, since I was pointing out design flaws in their operating system, not something that's essentially patchable. And I said, well, you know, there's probably a lot of solutions. Here's one concept. And he said, so you want us to sandbox everything? And I'm saying, no. I'm saying give the user more options. Another program that I've written is essentially a system-wide monitor. All it does is monitor what every application does and log it. But essentially, rather than building friendlier and friendlier layers between the user and the operating system, I'm building tools that let the user watch what the operating system is actually doing. Now, not only by, you know, monitoring what applications are doing, and I'm not saying that, you know, the lowest common denominator user, you know, my grandma isn't going to be able to use a system monitor. She doesn't know what a file is. She just wants to click on stuff and make it happen. But it'd be nice if the people who do know what a file is have the option to be able to watch. If you watch, you know, what your system is doing, you also get an idea of why Windows is really slow. Every time you click on the start button, you will see the operating system access 8 or 9 registry entries. Every time you click on something, anywhere, every time you do anything, you're talking about like 10 file accesses and 18 registry accesses. It's really unreasonable. Well, I mean, it's not unreasonable. There's reasons for it. I understand all that. But essentially, you know, having this tool that lets you watch what is actually going on in your computer allows you to be much more critical of the applications you're running. Right now, you get software from a trusted vendor, and they say, it's a trusted vendor, it's all good. Bugs happen. Remember that Netscape client bug that let the server download anything it wanted off of your bug? It's a trusted application. You would have no protection against it because nobody's scanning for Netscape, for God's sakes. But if you were, you know, running an application-level, you know, security where you were watching everything every program does, as soon as Netscape tried to do something it's never tried to do before, it gives the option to the user to not let it do that. It's really very simple concepts, but nobody seems to have like even attempted implementing them in a long time. So on my homepage, I discuss the programming issues and have some source code, and I talk about a bunch of other stuff. So please check it out and give me some feedback. Let me know what you think. At this point, I'd like to open the floor for questions. Please raise your hand, and we will point to you, and you can ask them. For any of the presentations that have been given here. Go ahead. Dildo, you want to talk about NetStat?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, NetStat. Here's the deal with that. The currently, BO2K does not hide itself from... I'm trying to move this cable here. It's in my way. It does not hide itself from the NetStat view. UDP TCP connections still show. This is actually to your advantage for testing to make sure everything's working. However, if you wanted to do it, there have been methods presented in the source code that I use to hide the actual processes and other things and to, you know, touch the registry in ways that it's not normally touched. You can actually take those concepts and extend them relatively trivially to not only hide it from NetStat, but from also from the file system, hide the registry keys. You know, you can make it look like it's not even there completely, 100%. But the code has not yet been written, but it is 100% possible. Yeah, go ahead in the front here.
Yeah, ICMP obviously will not show any listening connections. However, did anybody notice that until the very most recent upgrade of the Windows networking, for Windows 95 and 98, that NetStat doesn't show listening TCP connections? Am I the only one who's noticed that? Apparently. Any questions? Go ahead in the back. You're going to have to yell. I can't hear you.
Well, if it's running as a server machine, it's probably a good thing that you installed it yourself. There are a number of ways to detect it currently. In its current distribution, it always puts itself in the same place in the registry, and it will always add itself to your system directory if it decides to add itself anywhere. All of this stuff is configurable. It doesn't have to name itself a particular file or anything. But you know, if you turn on all the hiding options right now, you can still find it in the registry. I haven't gone through and mutilated the kernel that much. But as I said, if you want to hide it from NetStat, you can. If you want to hide it from the registry, you can. If you really, really, really want to go through and just uncomment a bunch of lines in the source code, it'll do that. I'm kidding. Okay, this guy in front here. Yeah, sure. Just don't. You can do that. Yeah. The question was, can you make a version that you just put on a floppy disk, pop it in a box, run one session, and as soon as you know the machine, you know, gets rebooted or the server gets shut down, that's it? Yeah, sure, you can do that. You know, it's just a matter of configuring it right with the config program. Guy in the back there. Will it log keystrokes? Passwords. Hold on.
at least in Windows 95, I mean, the way keyboard logging is usually implemented is by, you know, hooking the actual Windows messages of keyboard entries. In Windows 95, in 98 at least, if you tell your application to run as a service, and I'm sure this is true for NT as well, the services get started before the user logs in. So if keyboard logging were enabled when the application started up, absolutely, it would log in. It would absolutely log the user typing in their username.
Actually, here's something else. Under NT, I actually have two ways of doing keyboard logging. One is by using a journaling hook on the currently active desktop workspace. And yes, you can switch between workspaces. So if you want to run BO2K on a terminal server, I actually haven't tested it, but it looks promising. The other way to do it, this is actually how I was thinking about doing the keystroke logging for Bo Peep, was the keystroke capture on one side. You can actually, there's a thing called a hut key, and you can have a hut key, when you press it, go to a particular, you know, send a message or execute a particular chunk of code when you press the key. And there's nothing stopping you from actually setting up 4,096 hut keys for every key and key combination on the keyboard. And that's about it, actually. There's just about that many combinations. You just whip through them all, tell them all to do the same thing, which could be nothing, and that locks up the keyboard completely, 100%, right, the console from any user program. That's I don't know why that's so easy to do, but it's there, and that's one way to do it, and that works really well. This guy in the front here.
I have yet to see any virus scanners that search through the memory of actively running applications. Generally, signature scanners hook the actual creation of a new process and scan the file as it exists on disk right when it starts. There's nothing to stop that application from constructing any data in memory once it's running and jumping into that data. The solution, obviously, to protect against that, if you still really wanted to use signature scanning, would be to find some signature in the actual executable compressor wrapper and scan for that. However, I am releasing this open source. It's about 150 lines of code total. I mean, there's really, you know, two things you need to do. You know, you decompress your code, do the fix-ups that the system normally does for you, and jump into the old code. I mean, it's really straightforward. So even if they did extract signatures from that, you know, it would be 10 minutes for anybody who knew what they were doing to take a different compiler, change a few lines of code, move things around, and you'd have a different signature. In the back. Can you say that again? The passwords, you mean, that are configured into the executable? Yes, they are stored in the executable in plain text.
Okay. Yeah, that's a sticky point, but with proper permissions, that's not a problem, really, because you shouldn't be able to read the contents of the file just by, you know, typing it or whatnot, or stringsing it. You can just kick at strings on Windows. But yeah, the guy in the hat over here. Okay, because with this, okay, the question is essentially why, just because it's open source, why do I think that people should be able to trust the software? First of all, there are a lot of people that love to go around and pore over source code and find problems in open source software and, you know, point out design flaws, as well as those that like to work on it. What I'm really doing here is, you know, I pretty much wrote it by myself. I'd really like other people to help expand the system, which is the reason why it's going open source. The security aspects, we don't have a lot of multi-level management going on in our company. My company, me. yeah. So, you know, we're going to have a lot less turnaround time. Yeah, you're going to find problems. They're going to be exploited. There's going to be the classic problems of people are going to be finding more bugs because it's open source, but they're also going to be fixed. You know, this is not a debate just for BO2K. It's a debate for Linux, and anyone who, you know, blasts BO2K for being open source just because it's open source, you know, needs to read up on the subject a little bit more. You, FBI.
Say who said what? Currently, I don't avoid the audit subsystem. It is something that people can do to watch what's going on. I'd like to see what people have for ideas on that. You know, I personally don't use the audit subsystem. Actually, I've seen very few people use the audit subsystem. But those, people would like to make suggestions for plugins or something to, either hide it from it or make it produce meaningful results in the audit subsystem. You know, whatever you want to do, feel free to send us an email or start working on something. I'd love to see it. Guy in the front right here. BO2K, by all means, was designed to be, quickly ported to other OSs. He wanted to know if, we thought about doing a Palm Pilot client. And I'll tell you right now that doing something like a Palm Pilot client wouldn't be too hard. It'd be really easy to do. I don't know how well it would take to the plugin architecture. The plugin architecture should be portable just fine. What I'd like to see, and I think this guy here is thinking about doing an IRDA communication module for it. So you should be able to just point and click, which would be nice. Let's see. So many choices. That guy over there. Right there, you. Said I can't. I didn't catch that. Wants to know about the hidden registry stuff. Since we haven't released a tool and that you mentioned it, it might be a good idea for me to allow people to type in a registry key and just like zoom to it or something. At which point, you could just sort of go off the tree that's visible. Right now, it's just showing you what regedit shows you. I know there are other things that are in there, like performance monitoring, stats, all kinds of other stuff, process lists. It's all stored in the registry. Very good, very good. Something to do. There's all kinds of stuff that, this is all GPL. It's all stuff I want to see happen to the software. Bearded fellow there, blonde. Well, he wants to know about event logging for BO2K and on the client side. Oh, yeah, to keep track of the event logger, what's happening to the event logger on NT, can you actually do that? No, you can't, not right now, but there's no plugin for it. The plugin for it would be about 3K. You go ahead and write it up. I want to see it happen. You. The man asked a very technical question that I'm prepared to answer, but I don't know if anyone wants to hear it. He was wondering about using a program like HandleEX from System Internals to log the creation and moving of handles during the insertion process. Say that again. This is a little bit difficult for me to just talk to people about. We'll get to that. You can talk to me later. I'll get you. Only one or two more questions here. Two more.
When
do
you go in public?
No. I don't want any of you owning me. One last question.
I got one last question.
Okay, who? Where is it? Okay, who are you?
He's behind the speaker.
What about Windows Terminal Server? I don't have a copy of Terminal Server. It costs too much. I don't really know. I don't know what we're going to do about it. I'm sure it would run on it, but I'm not sure.
One more question?
All right. One more question.
Okay, this guy right here in the I'd like you all to show some control.
Control! Show some control!